Thank you. Now you're awake for some preaching. Amen. Luke chapter 9. Continuing in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 9, verse 37. Verse 37. Came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. Well, where were they? They just remember it was just where Jesus Christ is glorified, Mount of Transfiguration. All that wonderful event that's just taken place. Now they're coming back down, amen? Coming back down off the mountain, back down in the valley. That's Christian life. Verse 38, behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and teareth him that he foameth again, and bruiseth him, hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they couldn't, they could not. Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. They were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one, at all those things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not his saying, and it was hid from them. And they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Now, just a few weeks back, I preached earlier there in the book of Luke with the maniac of Gadara, when Jesus Christ has that demon-possessed man that had a legion of unclean spirits, of devils, and the Lord cast those things out. And you ever ask yourself, well, where'd all those things come from? It was when Jesus showed up. That's when all of a sudden all these people are getting demon-possessed. You see, it's when the Lord shows up, that's when the devil shows up. That's how that thing goes. And I can tell you one thing right now, the closer we get to the Lord coming back, the more of this kind of stuff you're going to see. See? We're seeing these people now eating dogs and eating people's faces off and all that stuff going on. You're going to see more and more and more of that stuff. I mean, we think we've seen it all in the news. You ain't seen nothing yet when all this stuff gets going. But this stuff's real. We looked at that this morning in our Sunday school hour. These weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in pulling down the strongholds. Why? This is a spiritual warfare. It's a spiritual battle, and they're spiritual enemies. And here you have a dad, and he runs to Jesus Christ. He's concerned for his child, and his child is possessed with the devil. He brings him to Jesus Christ to have this devil cast out. Amen? And listen, you ought to know these things. You ought to know about the enemy, but don't concentrate on it. Let me reemphasize that. I know Christians, they want to study all about demons and the devil. Don't do that. The Bible says to be simple concerning that which is evil. I've seen Christians, but they start studying that stuff and get into that stuff, man, they end up getting them, is what happens. You don't need to know all that much. How many of you know the devil is bad and evil and wicked? You got that figured out, right? All right, stay away from him. Amen. You know enough. Praise the Lord. But here's the thing. All this event that takes place, right? This thing that's going on, but then here's the thing. What does any of that have to do with what Jesus says at the end? He's casting out this devil. I mean, did you ask yourself that when we were reading through that? What does one have to do with the other here? He cast this devil out of this guy in verse 43, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered, every one, at all those things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down in your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered in the hands of men. What does that have to do with him casting the devil out of a boy? It's like he's changing the subject or something, you know? But you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to reveal something here. He's trying to show something. But man, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. Verse 43 says, They were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But verse 44, let these sayings sink down in your ears. The Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Hey, get it. Let it sink down in your ears. Response, verse 45. But they understood not this saying. You know what that'll do to you? That'll frustrate you. Amen. You know what's really frustrating is when you try to show somebody something and they don't get it. Now, I don't know anybody here. Are anybody here pretty good at computers? Nobody? All right. Just one, pointing to one. All right. I'm okay at it. I had to learn it in the Coast Guard for my job, which is one of those things now where I just do it kind of more for like my job stuff or church stuff and all. I don't have a good time with it because to me it reminds me of work. Amen. But there's people that are real good with computers. I've had these people real good with computers try to show me things on the computer. But most of these people, when they know computers and they want to show you stuff, they just go, oh, all I have to do is this and that. Whoa, slow down, what are you doing? And they just figure, they just assume that you know stuff, you know? Like, you know, just hit Alt 4, 5, 5F4. What? You know, Control Shift. What? You know, they got all these little codes, like you're supposed to know all that, so they know it. That's these young people today, you know, when it comes to the cell phones and the GPSs and all. Oh, you just go like this, you just push this button. What? What did you do? Show them that again.
Well, let me show you, Dad.
They trying to show you. Oh, okay, now I see it. Now, but what about, what did you do? Don't you remember? No, that was 5 minutes ago. Let me show you again. All right, and then, anyway, that's what, and they get frustrated, you get frustrated. That's how it goes a lot. Listen, the Lord's been trying to show his disciples, trying to show people, and they're not getting it. Notice, look at the Lord's own frustration here, if you would, for a minute. Verse 41, and Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thyself. Would you agree the Lord's kind of frustrated? Amen. When you're trying to show somebody something, here's some, and he didn't even know I was preaching this message. Brother Nate just gave me this. This is on a teacher trying to teach their students and getting frustrated because the students aren't getting it. The teacher says, Davis, use the word income in a sentence. Davis's response, I open the door and in come the dog. No. Try the word ransom. I saw a skunk and ran some distance to get away. Teacher, wrong. Give me a sentence with the word gruesome. I wasn't very tall last year, but since then I grew some. Oh, you're hopeless. I'll give you one more chance. Please use the word handsome in a sentence. Okay, could you hand some gum to me? Amen. That'll get you frustrated. You're trying to show somebody something. They don't get it. And that's the title of my message this morning, Revealed, but Still Unknown. Revealed, but Still Unknown. You know what? I believe that God wants to show us some things. The Lord wants to reveal some things from this passage for us. But if we're not careful, we can have them revealed and yet still be unknown. And if you would, look with me first of all here. Notice in verse 44 what the Lord says to him. He says, let these sayings sink down in your ears. Listen, hear it. And what's going on right there? Listen, the Lord's showing us the need. And the need and what God wants for his people. Now listen, he wants us to be audio-centered, not visual-centered. Do you follow me? You understand that? The Lord's desire for his people is to be controlled by your ears and not by your eyes. We okay? You with me? The main problem we have, and we'll be looking at it in our stronghold lessons, is imaginations. Your imaginations mostly don't come from what you hear. Sometimes they can. But where do most of your imaginations come from? All those pictures, everything you've seen, what happens to it? It's like listen, your brain, just a computer. Every website you go to, everything you do is stored in that cache. It's stored back in there. Everything, see? And that's where those imaginations come. You got to watch. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Amen. And the Lord's showing us that. Look back at verse 43. They were all amazed at the mighty power of God. Oh, what did they just see? Jesus come up and this boy come down thrashing around the devil and Jesus cast him out. This big event. They saw all that. But they couldn't hear what the Lord had for them to hear. And in the churches today, they're interested in the big show. You know, they want the light show. They want all the big deal. Ooh, ah, ooh. And what's church supposed to be about? People don't even know today. It's supposed to be about the preaching of the Word of God, which you sit and listen to. Woo! Whoopee today, huh? Well, that's how things go, see? He just finished the Sermon on the Mount, that whole big show. What did the Lord tell him there? Look back at verse 35. Verse 35. And there came a voice out of the cloud. They're seeing all this. This, my beloved Son. Hear, hear, hear. Who's that? God the Father. Listen, hear, hear Him. They couldn't hear. They're all about the show. They're all about looking around at what's going on. Now, if you would hold your place here, look with me in 2 Corinthians. Notice, this is important for a Christian to understand this and get this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Don't like the message, huh? Fine. Be that way. give me a chance. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now listen. Christianity, brethren, is about hearing, not about seeing. Look at verse 7. For we walk by what? Faith, not by what? Not by sight. Faith. Faith cometh by, Romans 10, 17, hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. See? If we walk by faith and not by sight, what should we as Christians be led by? What we're seeing or what we're hearing? You see, that's the thing. The Lord's trying to show us, hey, you need to pay attention to what you're hearing, to what I'm trying to tell you. Get off of what you're seeing. It'll mess you up. What ought you be looking at? Look at what he said back in chapter 4, verse 18 up there, just before chapter 5, verse 18. While we look, Christians, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're to be eternally minded. We're supposed to be thinking about heaven, eternal things. And you, if you're not careful down in this world, the world, its glitz, its glamour, its seductive powers captivate you. And it does it visually. That's how to do it. And that's why, especially you men, you've got to be careful. Amen. That's what will mess you up. It'll be your eyeballs. Ladies, it'll be your ears. I'm telling you the truth. I'm trying to help you. Men, it'll be your eyeballs. Let's be straight. Amen. Ladies, it'll be your ears. Well, my neighbor said, and mama said, and yeah, what'd God say? Who you been listening to? Who's got your ear? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And by you seeing the day, these kids, and they'll be playing the video game or, you know, doing the computer thing or watching TV, and they're just... Now, Jimmy, come here. Come here. And Jimmy, I got something. Jimmy, didn't you hear me talking? Jimmy, I'm wrong. Jimmy can't hear you. He's mesmerized. He's captivated. He's taken in. How? Visually. And now he can't hear. Something's overrided his ability to hear. Amen. You know, you can only see what's right in front of you. But you can hear 360. Think about it. If you're to walk circumspectly, you can't do it by sight. We okay? You got to be 360 all the time. You can't be 360 with your eyeballs. You can be with your ears. Are you listening? Are you listening? Look at verse 38. Verse 38. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee. Look, watch this. Look upon my son. Isn't that weird? It's this visual thing. Look upon. All you got to do is look at him. No, no, it don't work that way. It don't work that way. It's not visual. That's what this fellow's thinking. Well, all you got to do is look upon my son. That's not what Jesus did. Did Jesus just look upon him? No, he didn't. What did he do? Verse 42. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus looked upon him. No. What did Jesus do? He rebuked the unclean spirit. Yeah, listen, you're not going to rebuke the devil by looking at him. You're going to rebuke him by words. It's by hearing. Amen. That's why you come to church. That's why I'm supposed to preach the Word of God without compromise. Amen. That's how you're going to get help. You're not going to get help by me looking at you. Amen. I just come up here. That ain't helping you. What's going to help you? What you hear. What you hear. That's what's going to help you. Amen. People that come in here, and I don't know what they expect to see. Sometimes they've heard us on the internet, or they've listened to a CD, or they've just heard about us, whatever. And they come in here, I don't know what they're expecting, but usually they're highly disappointed, I can tell. You know, they heard this preacher on the internet or whatever, and then they come in and say, that's it? That's it, sorry. Just go by what you're hearing. You're doing okay. Amen. What was Israel's problem? How did Israel get in trouble? Hey, give us a sign, God. Show us something. The Lord said, no, you just need to go by what you're hearing. What did he tell in verse 41? And Jesus answered, O faithless. Faithless. Why no faith? Why no faith? Faith cometh by. There's a hearing problem. Hearing problem. They were all interested in the show. They went by what they were seeing, but they weren't listening. The Lord tells them, verse 44, and they still don't hear it. Couldn't hear it. Blinded audially. They couldn't hear. I mean, God, listen, God said he chose, 1 Corinthians 1:21, the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. That's what you need to hear. Preaching. Amen. Thank God for the music. Hey, praise the Lord if it's a good Christian movie that inspires you. But God didn't choose Christian movies to save people. And he didn't choose Christian music to save people. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save people. Amen. It's words. It's audio. That's how God does it. That's how he delivers souls. Through what you hear, not by what you see. See? You need to get a hold of that. You need to remember that. The devil's smart. And he realizes he ain't got much longer. And he's been working now for about 50 years, buddy, on this visual thing big time. I mean, you realize the young people coming up now, pray for them. Pray for our young people. I mean, you've got more coming in your eyeballs by the time you're 20 than a lot of people have before they were 50 years old. Amen. It's coming, it's pouring in every way the devil can get it in there. I mean, think about it. Just 50 years ago, what would 50 years be? 62? Yeah, because I'm... Okay. I figured it out. 62 was black and white TV. With three channels. How many of you remember that? Oh, confess your age. All right, amen. Amen. The good old days, right? Yeah. Listen, three channels, or unless you got PBS. I don't know when that came out. Sometime in the 60s, I think, with the hippie movement. And the drug movement, PBS joined right in there with them. Now, you had three or four channels. That's all you had. And then, right when I was kind of graduating high school, they came out with this thing called cable. People started getting cable. Now, all of a sudden, man, you had 20 channels. Woo! And it was in color. Well, I can still remember that back in like 1970. In living color, like it was a big deal. You know, in living color. That's how they'd, you know, Hawaii 5-0. In living color. You know, emergency. In living color. They don't do that now. Everything's in living color. It's just, you're used to it. See? That's the idea. But you just see how that technology, buddy, and it's just going on now and on. Now, what? They got satellite cable and anything where you got 300, 1,000 channels? I don't know what they got now. Yeah. I mean, they got more channels. Just click all day. Well, let me check what's on each channel. By the time you get done, it's the next hour, and you can just keep going again. Amen. It's flicking around in a circle for forever, and that's you can't find up. I don't know how they do that. But anyway, you got all that stuff coming through. Then the computer, with all that stuff being piped through. I mean, think about it. And then all the video games they got now. I mean, do you realize the visual bombardment that you're under? Have you ever thought about it? Hey, folks, now they've got phones that you've got to look at. Whoever thought it would be the day? Talk on the phone. No. Look. Come on. Think about it. It's all gone visual. That's the push. Why? Why has it been that push? Have you ever thought about it? You ever asked that? Why? I'll tell you why. Because the devil's groomed and programmed you because he knows that God chose the foolishness of preaching. And because of that, he's trying to get you all centered and thinking about the visual. So when somebody comes and preaches, huh? What? Can't hear you. Huh? What? You don't get it. Whoa! Right over your head. He did it on purpose to rip you off of your soul and take you to hell. Are you hearing? Are you listening? All the glitz, all the lights, all the colors, you just mesmerize. Yeah, I'll tell you what, try watching some of that stuff without the background music. You didn't even realize what it was that was making it exciting in the first place. And all the stuff doing is hypnotizing you and bringing you in so they can teach you what they want you to think. Amen. It wasn't Jesus looking at this unclean spirit that took care of him. It was him rebuking him with the word of God. Amen. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm trying to reveal some things to you. I want you to get it. Let it sink down where? Into your ears. He's also trying to show something else here. I don't know if you noticed it. Look back there in verse 44. Let these sayings sink down in your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. You know if they didn't get this whole thing? You know they didn't understand? The purpose for his coming. What's he telling them there in verse 44? Brethren, he's telling them why he came. Why did he come? He came to die. He came to lay his body down for our sins, to be our sin sacrifice, that the very blood, eternal blood of Almighty God would be shed so that our sins could be cleansed. And they didn't even know why he came. They were thinking he came to be a lion. Now he'll do that at his second coming. But he came to be a lamb. They didn't see it. That's not what they were looking for. Verse 42, he was yet a coming. The devil threw him down. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. See? That's what they're looking for. Oh, yeah, they're looking for the king. They're looking for the victor. They weren't looking for a suffering Savior who'd been beaten, whipped so bad you could see his kidneys, with blood coming down over his face from thorns that have been driven down into him, who when he tries to talk, they can't even understand him because they beat him up and knocked his teeth out and knocked his jaw 14 places dislocated. Lion. Lamb. That's what he'd been telling them. That's what he'd been trying to show them. They didn't get it. See? They didn't get it. Look back there, verse 22. saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain and raised again the third day. He'd been trying to show them. He'd been telling them all the way through. He's telling them. They never get it. Didn't even know why he came. They wanted a Messiah. They wanted a king. They weren't looking for a suffering Savior. But that's why he came. That's what he tells them. Look in Luke 19. Hold your place there. Look with me in Luke chapter 19. Are you staying with me this morning? You okay? Luke chapter 19. Notice if you would please. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Why did Jesus come? He tells them. Look at verse 10. Luke 19 verse 10. For the Son of Man is come. Why? To seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came. He came to save you. To save you from a life of sin and regret. Save your soul from hell. To deliver you and set you free. 1 Timothy 1:15, the Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? To save sinners. Born to die upon Calvary. Amen? That's why he was born. That's why. Isn't it amazing? Think about it. The world out there dates their calendar by the coming of Jesus Christ. And yet they don't even know why he came. Isn't that something? The Bible says Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures. For your sins. He came to be that sacrificial lamb. He said, I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. That's why he came. You see, they were looking at the wrong hill. Notice back up there in verse 37. It came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. You know what he's going to do, verse 44? He's going to go up a hill called Calvary. He had just come down from another hill. That's the hill of glorification, the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus glorified, Jesus in his kingdom. That's the hill they wanted. You know the one they didn't see? You know what they couldn't get? That hill called Calvary. Couldn't get it. He's trying to get them to see it. Boy, it could be frustrating. You try to show somebody something, they just don't get it. They just don't listen. They just don't understand. Revealed, but unknown. Many today. Verse 45, but they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not. Revealed, but unknown. See, another revelation demonstrated in this passage. Look there in verse 40 with me, verse 40. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. Why not? What's those disciples' problem? They're too weak. Amen. They don't have the power. But who did? Verse 43. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. They saw the power in Jesus Christ. Amen. He reveals right there before him his power. His power to just cast a demon, woo, right out. No problem at all. And then turns around and says, I'm going to be delivered to some men and they're going to kill me. What kind of power is that? You know what he's showing right there? You know what he's trying to reveal? That when he goes to the cross, he's not doing it against his will. He's doing it willingly. When he went to die on that cross for you, he did it willingly. He offered himself. Look with me in John chapter 10, holding your place in the passage here. John chapter 10. They'd just seen the great power of God. He turns right around and says, well, I'll be delivered in the hands of sinful men. Well, couldn't you stop them, Lord? Well, yeah, I could, but I don't want to. Why not? Because I have to die for you. I have to lay down my life for you. John chapter 10, verse 14. I'm the good shepherd. And I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He does it for you. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, amen, not just the Jews. He's going to reach us too. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. My voice, see, it's audio. And shall be one fold, one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Wasn't no man doing it. Jesus would do it willingly. Look with me in Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. I mean, who killed Jesus? There's people that call the Jews. It was the Jews that killed Jesus. Well, there was some Jewish leaders that were involved, okay. But it was Rome that killed him. But really, it was all the people that were out there saying, crucify him, wasn't it? But really, it was Pilate that said, I have the power to let you go, and didn't, wasn't it? But really, it was Barabbas, because he took the place of Jesus. And I mean, who's guilty? Everybody. That's the point. That's the point of the story. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. All are guilty. But none of those could take Christ's life from him. He did that willingly. He had the power to take on the devil, man. You think he was worried about a few people trying to crucify him? He was God manifest in the flesh. Think he was worried about a few men that wanted to hurt him? He'd been telling them the whole time, this is what's going to have to happen. I'm going to have to go and willingly lay myself down as an offering for your sins. Matthew chapter 26. Did you turn there? Is that where I asked you to go? Look there with me, Matthew chapter 26. Notice what Jesus says here in verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? A Roman legion was 5,000 soldiers. That's 60,000 angels. And you got one angel in that Bible taking out 600,000 men. If Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, or wanted to come down from the cross, he could have. That was the whole point. That's why they're up there. That's why the devil's taunting them. Come down from the cross. Save yourself. Why? So that he wouldn't finish what he needed to finish for you and I. He could have come down, but he didn't. He didn't come down. Oh, no. He didn't come down. 10,000 angels. Yep. He could have, but he didn't. Why? He saw you. He saw me. He wasn't going to come down. He willingly allowed that to happen. He reveals that in this passage. He reveals his power and strength, and then at the same time says, this is what's going to happen. He lets us know right there that he's going to have to do this thing, but it will be done of his own volition, of his own accord. He's trying to reveal it to them. He's trying to show them. They just don't get it. Revealed and yet not understood. Now, one more thing he tried to show him here. I hope you see it. I hope God reveals it to you. If you'll look with me here in verse 39. And lo, a spirit taketh him. Back in Luke 9, verse 39. Lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out. And it teareth him, that he foameth again. And bruising him, hardly departed from him. Verse 42, and as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. If you don't get anything else from this passage, you ought to get this. You ought to see the great difference between the devil and Jesus Christ. What's the devil doing? Causing harm, hurting, bringing grief, sorrow, pain, death. Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You got a world all out there under the God of this world, led by the course and the spirit of this world, Ephesians chapter 2. So lost and so undone. And the whole time, the devil's just using them like a pinata. Just tearing them up. And they don't even get it. They never even see it. Well, I don't have to live for God. I can get away doing my life and it'll be okay. And I'll be pa, pa, pa. And they never even see it. And you look from the outside, you see the pain and you see the misery and you see the anguish. You see the woe. Why do these people want to live for the devil? All he's doing is causing them sorrow, pain. All this boy did is hurt himself. Hurt others around him. Hurt his dad. What? That's the devil. You like serving him? How many more kids? How many more wives? How many more moms, how many more dads are going to have to get hurt because of the stinking devil? Don't you see the difference? What did Jesus do? What did he do? Verse 42, and as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit. He knows who his enemy is. It ain't you. It's the devil. He rebuked the unclean spirit and healed and healed. And healed the child. Say, what did Jesus do? What does Jesus do? He heals. He saves. He delivers. He restores. He gives victory. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. And yet you still just go along with the devil. Instead of listening to the Lord. Boy, that's got to be frustrating to him, huh? That's got to be frustrating to him. Watching you ruin your life and mess yourself up. Keep listening to the devil instead of listening to him. Boy, you know it's going to frustrate him. You think after a while you'd get it. I'm free. I can mark up my body and puncture my body. I'm free. Slave. It's sad. You know what the sad part is? They didn't get it. Neither do you. Clueless. That's what we call you. Clueless. Sad. How much more pain is it going to take? How much more hurt? How much more sorrow? That had to frustrate the Lord. He saw the agony of that dad. He saw what that boy was going through. He healed him. See, what had to happen for that to take place? All he had to do is come to Jesus. You ever have a come to Jesus moment, as they say? You have a time when it says, all right, Lord, enough. I'm tired of the devil just beating me up. I'm tired of this life. I want something better. Now, look at the choice. Hold your place here. Real quick, if you wouldn't mind, just Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's an important verse I want you to get. It's a good verse to memorize if you haven't as a Christian yet. I challenge you. It's a very good verse to memorize and then just to meditate on consistently. Because you see God's mind on all this. Notice, this is the deal now. Verse 19, Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Y'all got it? Look at verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. This is court of law stuff, see? There's a record. This is the real skinny. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. You got choices to make, that both thou and thy seed, your family, may live. What you going to choose? The Lord says, you're going to come to me, you're going to do my way, or you're going to continue going on the way you've been going. You know where that's going to lead you, don't you? Is it time? Now here's the thing about it. See, that Bible says that the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. He blinds you to it. That's his warning for that last day's church, that Laodicean church. We talked about that this morning as well. He counsels them to put eye salve on their eyes. They're all with this visual stuff. They can't really see what they need to see. They can't hear what they need to hear. And the reason is real simple. Notice verse 42. Back in the passage, you with me? Look at verse 42. And as he was yet a coming. All right. I'm getting my boy to Jesus. I'm getting my family to Jesus. I'm getting me to Jesus. I'm getting things right with God. Buddy, just about the time you say that, that's when the devil's going to fight the hardest. Are we okay? You with me? Look at that thing, verse 42. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down. One last chance, man. And tear him. He's trying to kill this kid before the Lord can help him and deliver him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and delivered him again to his father. Restored that family. Restored that relationship between that boy and his dad. That's our Lord. That's our God. He restores. He heals. He saves. Now listen, you've been an invitation before. You're asked to come to Jesus. And right when that happens, what happens? Somebody's fighting. Somebody's out to destroy you. Who are you listening to? Here's your chance right now. We're going to stand. We're going to pray. And if you're not 100% sure you're saved, if you're not sold out to Jesus Christ, you've been living for the devil, now's the time. You come down, you meet Jesus Christ, and you get that thing fixed right now, that quick. And if you're nervous about it right now, you know who that is. If there's a fight going on right now, you don't have to guess about who that is. It's time. Father, bless the message. Give the invitation, Lord. You give the invitation. There's someone that needs to come to Jesus. There's someone that needs to get right. There's someone that needs to get saved. There's someone that needs to get restored. There's someone that needs to get healed right now. And I know the devil's going to fight them and try to convince them that they shouldn't come down here, that they shouldn't get it settled, that they can wait, that they can put it off. Lord, please, 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 break through on that thing right now. Father, save that one nearest to destruction. Save that one from pain and more sorrow and more anguish and more agony, and set them free. Father, please have your way in the invitation. I ask and pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we continue in prayer, Sister Tammy, would you please come ahead and play softly on the piano for us? I want to invite you to come. I'm not asking you to come to join the church or anything like that. I'm asking you to come to Jesus Christ, to meet with Him right now. When's the last time you came to an old-fashioned altar and had one of those come-to-Jesus moments? When's the last time you just said, all right, Lord, it's just me and you now. I want this thing fixed. I'm tired of the devil messing with me, messing with my family, messing with my life, messing with my mind, hurting me, causing me to hurt others. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want anybody hurting me. I don't want the devil to have his way in my family anymore. I'm coming to you. It's all yours. How about it? How about it? Hallelujah. Would you come? Lord spoke in your heart. The altar is open. How about it? Would you come? Praise the Lord. You come and you talk to Jesus Christ right now. Is there anybody down here, if you need some help, would you like somebody to pray for you? Lift your hand. I'll have someone come and pray with you. Brother Chuck? Anybody like to have somebody come and pray with you? Raise your hand if you'd like to have somebody come and pray with you. Be glad to come and help you in prayer. Let's tarry in prayer for a moment. Amen. Let's tarry in prayer. Let the Lord have His way. Let the Lord have His way.
He wants to let people know what God's done.
Amen. You do that. Why don't you come on up here to the microphone? All right? I'll give you a chance. Come on. Nathan. It's Nathan, right? Name? Nathan? Yeah. All right. This is Nathan at the boys' home. He's got a testimony of what the Lord's done for him. You go ahead, Nathan. Is this on? Give us some sound here, brother. Jacob, you there?
There we go. Go ahead, buddy.
He saved my life on Friday.
Amen.
From going to set like a fire.
Who saved you?
Jesus Christ.
Amen. He's good at that, isn't he? Amen. He's the life saver. He's the life giver. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. Are you glad you got saved?
Yes, sir.
Are you sorry you got right with God?
Yes,
no, I never met anybody that has been. Amen? Never met anybody that's regretted trying to get things right with God. Thank you so much. Well, I appreciate that testimony. You pray for him. You pray for these boys at home. Amen? His way in their hearts and their lives. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. I got to get on the road, but I don't want to. I'm in no hurry right now. Lord kind of showed up a little bit here. I just want to sit right here for a while and revel in it. Amen. Enjoy it. Enjoy the presence and the peace of God. It's so good when we'll just get with Jesus, man. And that's everything's better. We want to try and do it ourselves. We want to try and fix it ourselves. No, I just allow the devil to make it worse. Amen. Just get with Jesus Christ. Just get the thing settled. Just get it right. Everything will be okay. Amen? Isn't the Lord good? Anybody want to just say praise the Lord? How about let's try one more time, a little louder, with feeling. Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Love y'all. All right. Let's...